So Colossians chapter 3. And as we're turning there, I just want to reiterate, if you would like to talk or have questions about Paul and Rachel and the process and the decision that was made regarding the Johnsons, please do not hesitate to pull us aside, John or I. We would be happy if there's confusion or if you just want to express your own thoughts. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. We were able to see them both this weekend as Rachel came to Presbytery with Paul. And so the Presbytery had a chance to support them as well in this. So please, if you would like to talk, do not hesitate. Be happy to. Colossians chapter 3. We're just going to read the first four verses. Beloved, this is God's word. It is given to us. Let's receive it. Let us listen to it. Let us receive it for what it is. And let's receive it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord in faith and hope and love. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray together. Father, lift up our eyes, even as we read, that we may set our mind on things above and not on the things that are on earth, that we may see this world, see ourselves, and see things as you do, that we may receive your word, that it may be a great blessing to us in all that it does to us, reproving and rebuking, encouraging and strengthening, healing and wounding, all the things that your word does. Bless it now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is obviously standing in direct contrast to our recent sermons in Paul's letters. We've taken huge chunks in the book of Romans, tried to process and to distill a lot of information. This morning will be exactly the opposite. We are essentially going to look at one phrase inside of this section. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And as we do, it's important to remember that it is good to be confronted by God's word. It is good to be reminded of things, to be challenged by things, to be encouraged by God's word. Notice even in the section that we read, Paul says that you can have your mind set on one of two things. You can either have your mind set on things above, or you can have your mind set on the things of this world. And one of them is in keeping with your life in Christ, and the other is not. And so he encourages us to lift up our eyes, lift up our hearts, lift up our minds, and to set them on things above. This is a challenge, and it is good to be challenged because our vision is so tiny, right? Our world and our perspective of things is so myopic and so severely limited, or worse, it is cloudy and wrong and sinful. And so God's word comes and provides clarity and perspective and challenge, and introduces us to a world as seen through the Lord's eyes and not our own, where he sees, where he knows, where he judges, and where he blesses. So let me think about this with respect to the Apostle Paul who wrote this letter. Think about what that distinction means very practically, that Paul does not live by what he sees, but by what God's word sets before him. Think about who Paul is. He is a prisoner. And the world sees Paul as the tiniest little speck in the Roman Empire, a traitor to the Jews, an irritant to the Gentiles, a nuisance and a prisoner, maybe a curiosity to the thinkers of his day. That's what he looks like in this world. But who is Paul really? Who does God say Paul is? What is Paul's true life? He has been adopted as a son of God. He has been declared righteous before God's holy tribunal. The Spirit of glory abides in him. He has been crucified with Christ and raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has been set apart for the gospel ministry by the risen and exalted Christ. He has been commissioned by the Lord of heaven and earth to take the gospel to the Gentiles and to proclaim to them the unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ. He is a king and a priest in Christ's kingdom of light. Do you see how important it is for us to set our mind on things above? Because if we were to set our mind on the things of the earth, Paul would look like a nuisance, a prisoner, and a traitor. But to set our mind on things above is to say about Paul what is true about Paul in Christ. What I want to do is I want us to do the same thing. Because that's exactly what Paul is doing here. Notice the first thing that Paul says is that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now this makes us a little bit uncomfortable because we are constantly told and we tell ourselves that what really matters is the right here and the right now. That this is the best that it gets. We have been tricked into thinking that this life is the most important life. That this is real life. And we live under the tyranny of the practical and the earthly, what Paul here refers to as earthly mindedness, where the Lord says, no, your life is somewhere else. Well, what is this life that is someplace else? If it is not who I am in this world that defines me, if it is not my achievements and the things that I do and the roles that I play or the accomplishments that I do, then what exactly is this life that Paul is talking about? The life that Paul is talking about here is who you are in Jesus Christ. Regardless of your gender, regardless of your marital status, regardless of your job status, regardless of your education, regardless of your choice of clothing styles, your hobbies, this, your true life is who you are in Christ. Your true life is who you are because you are bound to Jesus. Your true life is who you are because you belong to Him and are united to Him. Your true life is all that God has for you, all that God blesses you with, and all that God will do to you and give to you. That is your true life. Paul says that that life, who we really are in Christ, who we truly are in Him, all that He has for us, that right now, that life is hidden. Now, hidden in this verse is the opposite of revealed. Hidden doesn't mean that God is playing hide and seek, where He hides it and we just have to go find it. It doesn't mean, hidden does not mean that it is unreal. Hidden means that it is real, that it is true, but it is not revealed at the present time. Hidden here is more of a time indicator. In this present time, in this world, your true life in Christ is hidden and not revealed. Notice the contrast between verses 3 and 4. Your life is hidden, but when Christ appears, right, who is your life, notice the contrast between hidden and appears, you too will appear with him in glory. It is simply a time indicator. You cannot see your life because you cannot see Jesus right now. Your life is hidden because you cannot see Christ, who is your life. But he is real, right? You get my point. He's not hiding somewhere in the sense of from us. He is just not revealed yet. So when you think about your life, think about all that Christ has made you. All that Christ has made you to be in his death and resurrection, that you are dead to sin and hell and the grave, set free and liberated and redeemed, made holy and righteous, given the mind of Christ, given the affections of Christ, given the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, to control you. You are redeemed from darkness, Paul says in chapter 1, verse 13, transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the kingdom of light. You are a new creation, kings and priests and prophets, children of God, heirs of all things. That is who you are. That is your true life. The very things that Jesus now presently enjoys in heaven is your true life. Notice verse 4, because he is our life. But right now, that life is hidden from us. Even though it is true, and even though I have the great privilege to declare them to you, you cannot see them. They are true, and that is really your true life, but now that life is hidden. So think about yourself. If you were to set your mind on things below, if you were to set your mind here, what would you be? What is the limitation of what you would be? A husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a truck driver, a teacher, a scientist, a home engineer, an architect, a student, retired, a lawyer, military, right? If we could not see beyond this, if the Word of God did not confront us with new and different realities, that's all we would be. What else would the world say about us? The world tells you that you're closed-minded, that you are weak and have psychological problems because you believe in something you cannot see, that you are obnoxious, that you are blasphemous, intolerant, hypocritical, self-righteous, and bigoted. Now, hopefully we aren't any of those things, though sadly we are far too often those things. But the world's relationship to the church is not always a happy relationship. They don't see us for who we are, right, in Christ. So our identity and our true life is hidden from the world. You cannot see it here. But there's a day coming when who we are in Christ will be revealed and made manifest. It is hidden now, but we will be revealed as the children of God, kings and princes of God, heirs of God, glorified and made temples of the Holy Spirit. So the world cannot see. It is hidden from the world. That is, it is not revealed yet who we are already in Christ. But our true life is not just hidden from the world. Our true life is hidden from us. How many times do you personally struggle to believe all that God says about you? daily, moment by moment, maybe is probably better if we're being honest with ourselves. Wouldn't we have to say that we have never, ever believed all that God has said about us? Ever. Not only is it hard to believe all that God says about us, it is actually impossible to live out what God says about us. We do not understand how loved we are in Christ. We do not understand how thoroughly and extensively God cares for us. We do not know how forgiven we are in Christ. We do not know how righteous we are in Christ. How holy we are. We do not know how complete and lacking in nothing we are in Christ. Now, can I say this because I know all of you so well, and I know that we're all just so dumb and foolish that we cannot grasp what God says in His Word? No, I'm not suggesting that. The reason why I know is because if we did know all of those things, how much God loves us, how forgiven we are, how righteous we are, how holy we are, if we knew all of those things, our fears and our anxieties and most of our problems would just fizzle right out. We would no longer fear the opinions of men if we truly understood what God thought about us. We wouldn't fear our own weaknesses because we would know that God's power is perfected in our weakness. We wouldn't fear failure. We wouldn't fear death at all. Sufferings would not faze us. Trials would be welcomed with joy and rejoicing. Persecutions would be a delight. Our assurance would be unshakable. Our confidence in God's promise immovable. Sin would no longer hold sway over us, and the things which tempt us most would no longer entice us at all. That's how I know we don't believe all that God says about us. We have just the smallest grasp of what is true, because the truth of the matter is our life is hidden from us. So our life is hidden from the world. They don't understand the church. And the truth of the matter is neither do we, right? The church doesn't understand all and who we are in Christ Jesus, because we have this reality that our life is hidden, is not revealed yet. Well, where is it? And what is it doing then? And Paul has a lot to say about that. Paul says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he clarifies that in the fourth verse, that Christ is our life. So that where Christ is, that is where our life is. And so if Christ is now hidden in God, then that means that our life is hidden there as well. That is verse 3. Notice that Paul does not simply say that our life is hidden in heaven. He could have said that. And that would be a perfectly correct theological assertion, because that is precisely where Jesus is, right? And that is precisely what is veiled to us right now, is what lies beyond this world into the world to come. He could have said, our life is hidden in heaven where Christ is seated, right? But he is more specific than that, isn't he? He is more specific than just the general sense that it is hidden in a place we cannot see. He says it is hidden in God. That tells us that God sustains a unique relationship to our true life. And thankfully, it is a different relationship than we sustain to that life. What do you think of when you hear that our life is hidden in God? What do you immediately think? What comes to your mind when you think of that? Why would Paul be that specific that it is not just Christ in heaven, but it is hidden in God? I think the first thing we can say about it is that it sets up a relationship between God and our life. And the first thing I want to say about that relationship, which hidden communicates in this verse, is that it is being protected by God. You see, the uniqueness of that life and the relationship that it has to God is that it, in a sense, it is being enfolded into God, where it is guarded and protected and watched over. For our life to be hidden in God means that God is protecting us, preserving us, guarding us. The image is that we have been put into the hands of God, as it were, as Christ gives himself over to his Father in heaven and is enfolded into the Father's glory. The second image, not only is he protecting it and guarding it, I think the second image that is clear is that it is the image that it cannot fail, therefore, right? If God is the one looking out for it, if God is the one who is protecting it, then is there any chance that we fail to see that life and achieve the fullness of that life? Is there any possibility in any way that it could fail? No. There is no chance for those who are united to Christ. There is no chance whatsoever to fall from that, because our life is Christ and it is hidden in God. And this is why we read Psalm 27. Because the psalmist uses the language of hiding as a metaphor for protecting and guarding and shielding. Listen to what he says in the fifth verse. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. You see, it communicates protection, stability. It communicates the assurance and confidence that that life cannot be lost. It cannot be threatened. It cannot be diminished. It cannot be taken away, because it is there in the shadow of God's wing and his protection. It is hidden in him. It's not just hanging out, dangling somewhere. Our life is hidden in God. He is the shelter and the cover of our true life. Now, there is something extremely encouraging, and I hope there is, when you conceive of the life being in and sheltered by God. But I think that there may be something even more pastorally pertinent when we think about this particular language, when it says that that is hidden from us. But who is our true life not hidden from? From the one in whom it is hiding. This means that God knows your true life even when we don't. He knows who we are in Christ, even when we struggle and fail and flounder to understand and to grasp that true life. And not only does he know it, not only is it not hidden from him, But he does not treat us according to the ups and downs of our life. This is how we work. One day we're great, the next day we're terrible. One day we're on top of the world, the next day we feel like we're under the boot heel. One day we feel like we're great Christians and we're doing all the right things, and the next day we question whether we even have faith. God does not operate that way. He doesn't treat us that way. He doesn't regard us that way. Because there is a stability to who we are in Christ that we fail to see, that he does not fail to see. Our true life is hidden from us, but it is not hidden from him. God regards us not according to this life, but according to our life in Christ. Now, even as I say that, there's irony in saying that, because even that reality, that God does not treat us as we deserve, but as we are in Christ, is hidden from us. Just the fact that that is true is hidden from us. Part of the life that we have received in Christ, which is now hidden, is that God regards us these things even when we don't. And what is the access that we have to understand what God thinks about us and how God regards us? You have to stop and ask yourself, what does God think about Jesus? That is your access point. If he is your life, your true life, then the way that you come to understand what God thinks about you and how he regards you is to think about how he regards Jesus. Because Jesus is your life. This leads to one final question, right? If the world doesn't know who we are, if who we are in Christ is even hidden from us, but it is protected and guarded and kept in God, and that it is not hidden from God, but that he regards us this way, what then? What now? Let me use Galatians 2:20 to answer that question, where this is the response. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, that is here and now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If my true life, that I am dead and risen again in Christ, that I am holy and righteous and redeemed and set free, if that is hidden from me, then how in the world am I supposed to live now? Paul says you are to live by faith. Walk in faith, believing and resting and trusting that despite what it looks like in your circumstances and situations, that God's word is more true than what you see. Saints, this is a lifelong process. And we make the tiniest steps in truly believing who we are in Christ and how God regards us in him. But for this morning, take comfort that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Take comfort that your life is guarded and protected by the Lord. And that that life is not up to you, because your life is Christ. And that that life, though hidden from you now, will not always be hidden from you. That verse says that that life will be revealed, and you with it. In verse 4. So believe, rest and trust in the work of your Savior and the work of God. Hope in him and love and serve him. for your life is hidden with Christ in God. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together.